This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Barbara Gray, and Paul Dano collects teeth. It's been a while.
Hey. I'm Brandy Posey, and I'm tweezer in my glove box years old. Feels great.
I'm Tess Barker, and I am always thirsty in every sense of the word.
Woohoo! And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby. It's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Theme song. Hey, Galen.
Oh, did you have a fart sound?
She did.
I just did it.
Oh, nice. No, I was looking at Brandy, and I'm like, do we have a fart board now?
No, if only.
I was going to be so stoked if one of you bought a fart board.
I mean, I think you don't need, I think you can just have it. You can just download it now.
Okay.
I can just do it.
I think we all have a fart board on us at all times.
Yes. Just right there.
We're walking fart boards.
Yes. That is our fourth guest, our fourth lady today. She has a very cool podcast called What's Your Sign? Julie Logan, hi.
Hi. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course. Thanks for being here.
And we actually, the three of us did that podcast is coming out actually around this one.
Sometime around here.
Yeah, around like July 16th, I think.
Yes. July 16th. Does anybody ever think that your podcast is like a Bill Engvall podcast?
No, not yet.
Here's your sign.
You should. That should be a drop in on there.
We've tried so hard. We still haven't quite done it. But when we first were doing it, we tried like coming up with our like catchphrase at the end of it. And that I think it wasn't here's your sign. It was like, and that's your sign.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So I'm sure on a review somewhere, someone is disappointed that it's not.
I would imagine there's not a huge crossover about Engvall fans and astrology people, but
I don't know.
The internet's made the world a weird place.
That's
so, there's a podcast for everybody. So.
Everyone's into everything.
Do all of those guys have catchphrases? Because there's get her done.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your sign.
You might be a redneck.
Might be a redneck. Oh, there's
tater salad?
What? Yeah, what's Ron White?
Is that Ron White?
Tater salad. I don't know if that's like his catchphrase, but doesn't he have something? He has something like that.
I think
like,
his is just a tumbler with whiskey.
That's obviously the best one.
Yeah.
And he's the best one, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. Although I've heard that it's just colored water that he drinks on stage and he drinks afterwards.
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny.
That's a good
hug. All of them are just like, they are just all have this little like, see?
Yeah.
I'm just like you. Yeah. I drink brown water on stage. So you'll connect with me.
Well, that is like the downside of making your persona like being drunk all the time.
Yeah.
And then after a certain point, you have to, if you like want to be successful, they're like, yeah, you know, you can't really be drunk all the time. Right?
Not like that. Not so much.
Like, it's fine. You can still be like that type of person, but like, just like
it's
Madison Square
not
Garden.
Be fun for you.
You might want to have a clear head.
Yeah, exactly. Be present for this one.
I really don't drink before going on stage anymore.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, I might have like Abier, but no.
When I started, I definitely would like be like, I'm gonna get loosened up, and this one. Now I'm like,
no,
like I'm sloppy if I have anything.
Yeah, you can see the difference.
I
totally
do miss
sure.
Where I always used to have the best drunk sets was at Big Fish. I used to love getting sloshed.
I mean, if you can't go up that,
no.
Did you know Big Fish?
No,
Julia?
I know. No, I was like, I know of it, but I think I started like right at the end
for
of
the
that
listener.
One. I miss Big Fish and Brewco. Both of those are I know
two LA comedy institutions.
Yes.
Bruco was like the one where Maria Bamford and Zach Galifianakis like started.
And that's where I met my fiance.
Bruco was a long running open mic in Los Angeles for the listener. Totally awesome.
And Big Fish was how to explain
it
Big
was
Fish.
The most wild. There's... It was like Florida in a bottle.
Yeah, it's like it was when you walked in, you were like, I am not in Los Angeles anymore.
I loved
it. Was
Big
a portal.
Yeah, the place ruled. It there's an NPR story. They did like a they shot a mini documentary about it because it was the hardest comedy room in America is like what they called it, and it's just people. It like Kanane is in it, and it's just like, oh yeah, nobody ever does well here. It's just real.
Also,
bad.
I will say Tim and Eric recorded their video Petite Feet there. So if you want to look at Big Fish,
it's
go
a
look at the Petite Feet.
It's gone now. I think they paved it and put up like a fancy hot dog place.
Oh,
or something.
It's like no, it's like a it's like a very gentrified bar. It's like looks like every bar.
It's a bummer.
Yeah.
What a tragedy. I threw a birthday party show there.
It was I
the
was
last
on
time
that
I,
show.
Yeah, it was the last time I ever performed there.
We roasted you with compliments.
Yes, it was a blast.
Yeah,
I remember. Oh, yeah, you got scared because you didn't know you didn't know we were gonna do that, right?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And then she was like, "What's happening?" And then we like wrote nice. Well, I don't know if I was there, but I remember something about
you were there.
Everyone wrote nice jokes about Brandy.
Yeah, it was great.
So we were the original nice roasting show. Thanks so much.
Yeah, take that,
Kyle Ayers.
Yeah, because I ate a habanero pepper in exchange for a pitcher of Coors Light.
Oh yeah, because there was a guy named Billy Dilly that would grow peppers in the tiny patch of dirt behind the men's room.
What? I did not know about.
Oh, you didn't know about the peppers?
Oh yeah.
No.
Billy
Dilly. Wait, he grew them.
He grew them out behind the men's room.
For some reason, I was like, I was thinking about you doing that, and I heard you say, you clearly said grow, but I thought you said groped peppers behind the bathroom. And I was like, this place truly is wild.
Yeah, it was amazing because there's Billy Dilly, who was like the unofficial bar back that grew the peppers behind the bathroom, and then the bartender was a guy named Cheezer that used to be a radio DJ back in the day.
Yes.
And Cheezer got a start because he sounded exactly like Wolfman Jack, and Wolfman Jack heard him and then hired him to do all of his radio drop-ins because Wolfman Jack didn't want to have to do commercials anymore, and that's
also
where he got a start.
By the way, Cheezer didn't work there. Did you know that?
Wait,
yeah,
no.
Cheezer was just a regular who would go behind the bar and serve you. But he was not getting paid.
Bless him. Bless Cheezer. Cheezer would also, if you said something in your act that reminded Cheezer of a story, he'd run up on stage. And I was talking about Howie Mandel one time, and he came up on stage and he was just like, fuck Howie Mandel, he tried to steal my wife on an airplane. Yeah. And then he would walk off the stage and you just have to deal with it.
So he really was trying to take everybody's job at the place.
He's a great...
Behind the bar, behind the mic.
Amazing. I remember one time Billy Dilly, too, I had a joke. I mentioned a chainsaw, and he, like, came out from behind the stage with a chainsaw.
I was there that night.
And we were all like, where did the chainsaw come from? And he just was revving a chainsaw behind me on stage.
My favorite Big Fish Billy Dilly memory, obviously, also, well, it doesn't involve him. But anyway, was me and Josh Androsky. We had, like, dated, and we had broken up.
That was so fun.
Yeah, and then we faked a huge fight. We both got up and did sets where we were talking shit on the other person. It was obviously about them.
The night ruled.
And like, and people were like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, they could tell it was like really awkward. And then Josh got up and he was doing a set and it was obviously about me. And then I got up and started screaming at him.
Yeah.
And I was like, you blah, blah, blah. And we started yelling. And then we both yelled. What did we both say? We both said, like, I fucked Eli Olsberg.
Yeah.
He said he'd get me on Chelsea Lately.
The most deep cut LA.
Oh my god.
Of all
and
time.
Then we stared at each other and started making out on stage. And I remember Steve being there and going, USA.
Yeah.
That was fun. If you ever have a chance to stage a fake fight, like do
that.
That
sounds really fun.
Fun as fuck.
I don't know with my nervous giggle though.
Yeah.
I don't think I could
Theater.
I do
theater kid. You can fake a fight.
That's true.
But the dances we've done.
Flash mobs?
Yeah.
I shit the bed in our flash mobs. Do you not remember that?
Like I do.
Where did you do a flash mob?
Outside the Pantages.
We did a thriller flash mob in front of the... It was
Hollywood Boulevard.
Good.
Wait, was it like a lady-to-lady flash mob? Or you were in someone else's flash mob?
Tess just wanted us to do it.
I just got a hair up my ass to do a flash mob. All and right. I rented like a dance studio. Like we practiced. Like I had strep throat that week and I still practiced really hard.
Wait, so it was your flash mob? Or you...
Oh, this was Tess.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is all Tess's thing. Yeah, for sure.
I think I was in a flash mob, but I also was for sure accidentally in a flash mob.
I'm so sorry.
I was at the Americana, and I was like just shopping, and then there was just there happened to be a flash mob happening, and I tried to like
what were you doing?
But I don't remember what it was for. And maybe I like kind of knew about it, but I just remember being like trying to avoid it. But then it was just like a flash mob. People are just popping up everywhere.
That's my dream. Was it dancing, singing?
No, it was dancing.
Okay.
But, no, I just remember being like, I'm just trying to get to this Barnes and Noble. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. One of my favorite ones ever. I'm going to do this. It was, there's a one called like Library Musical and they're just kids in college.
Yeah.
And one kid just like starts like, nobody sings in the library. And everyone's like, ugh. And then this other girl joins in and they start doing the box steps.
That's really good.
Like, the funniest. Just everyone's just like, I want to die. Like,
yeah. What? Just gave me acid reflux.
Yeah.
Hearing about
it. The only people who enjoy a flash mob are the people in the flash mob.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
That, yeah,
that's
sure.
such a funny, what a funny trend that was, too. I think I saw another one the first time I went to New York. There was one in one of the train stations.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, people are going to work and stuff. Like, this is not worth it for a YouTube video.
Yeah, I'm imagining like a, God, what's his name who directs Best in Show and stuff?
Like Christopher Guest.
Christopher Guest type yeah, movie is. About like a guy trying to get flash mobs going into small towns. Yes. Like, no one
that
appreciates
would be so funny. And it's just like the 10 people.
Yeah. okay, so we have something to talk about.
Yes.
Yes.
So can I tell...
Let's give some context.
So, well, I would say our notes for this part of the episode just say two lines. The first says shit bucket, and the second says too horny.
Yeah, and they're a little related?
A little, not totally.
There's a Venn diagram at play.
So okay. This is really good timing, because was it last episode that we had?
It was, I think it was a few ago. I think it was like four.
These are my sunglasses.
I was like, what is happening?
They're folding rebounds.
All
right.
So two episodes ago, we had a listener write into us. She's met this really awesome guy.
Her neighbor's super hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But she went over to his house and found out that because he's renovating his house, he's going to be shitting in a bucket all summer.
Yeah.
And she sees him walking to the back house to shit in the butt. Like,
she knows when he's shitting, how
but
long
she's like,
shitting.
He's progressive. We get along. She found all this amazing. And then she found out he's shitting in the bucket.
Yeah.
And we said that we didn't think it was a deal breaker because eventually there's always something.
Yeah.
So you're finding out at the beginning.
Well, better in a bucket than like just straight up in the backyard or something.
Right.
Gross.
I mean, wish there was a porta potty. We wish there was something.
Yeah, but, on a porta potty, but if you're getting a nicer tile for that real bathroom, I'm okay.
And it's probably expensive to get a porta potty.
They're a little pricey. Yeah.
So that was cut to last night.
Yes.
Cut to last night.
You had a date.
I'm on a Tinder date with a guy, 40 years old.
Okay.
Okay.
And he...
Which you were excited about because like, you were like, an older, like, more mature man.
Shit together.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he technically did.
Yeah. Literally had his shit together in one place. So I was like, you know, we were just getting to know each other and he was like... He said, I live in a camper. He's like, I went through a big breakup. I moved out of the apartment like a year ago.
Mm-hmm. A year ago.
Yeah.
And he's still in a camper.
And I live in a camper. Uh-huh. And he was like, I really like it. You know, it just like cuts down my cost, whatever.
Yeah, cool.
And he was like, you know, the only thing that sucks is like the bathroom situation. They pretty much just have to, you know, you're just pooping in the same place. And I was like, so you shit in a bucket? I started laughing so hard. I was like, you don't understand. I literally just told a woman couldn't be a deal breaker. And now I'm facing my own hypocrisy.
Yeah. So like, how did you feel getting this information? Did you feel the way that we advised this woman to feel?
I mean, the thing is, like, look, she's gotten to know this guy for a long time and had a big crush on him. I just met this guy.
Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. hard information out of the game.
Yeah. Right away.
I also feel like, I know that, like, tiny houses and little, like, minimal living is trendy right now, but I do think there's a difference of, like, a temporary shit bucket and a, like, this is a lifestyle that I'm choosing to lead.
That is true.
All the time.
For sure.
That still sounds like some residual breakup. stuff.
Yeah, he's feraling around.
And then it was like kind of like a weird string of like bathrooms he has access to that he was telling me.
Here's the thing. He should not have told you any of this.
Yeah.
No. He can drop the camper, but leave the poo-poo off the table.
Mystery for the third day.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Get her to like you a little bit before you drop the shit bucket.
Right. So, I mean, it was a good date. We had fun. We didn't kiss, so I don't really know, you know.
Yeah.
But he texted cute things. But I was just like, dying laughing that I just told somebody that.
That's
I can't
so funny. How did he take being laughed at for it?
Oh, he was fine. He was like, yeah, I get it. That's okay.
Okay, cool.
So he laughed at himself. And
Shit Bucket's got a sense of humor. Okay.
Shit Bucket does have a sense of humor. Yeah, he was funny. Yeah, so I don't know. That was, and then I was kind of like I said, I was horny, and then I was like, we didn't kiss or anything. So I was like, what the fuck was that?
Yeah.
And I got annoyed.
Now, that is really bullshit, because if you're going to tell a woman about your shit bucket, the least you can do is make out with her.
I know. I mean, I did. So, okay. So, I have a, I have a very hard time I have a hard time with money on dates where I, like, want to pitch in.
Yes.
I have a really hard time just sitting there and being like, and you take care of this.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, I feel very uncomfortable, but I let him. I mean, not because of the shit bucket, but
also. He's not paying rent right now.
Yeah, exactly. He asked me out. He's 40. You can pay for a first rate. We did go to kind of an expensive thing, so that's why I felt bad. Normally, I'd be okay.
It's very liquid.
It was expensive.
He's very liquid. Yeah, he's liquid right now.
Yes, I mean, he was telling me that he saves a lot of money, so hey, you're buying the Korean barbecue.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be rough for the bucket.
Oh, God. I already hated Korean barbecue.
No.
Okay.
Ew. Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know where our... I don't see it perhaps going super far.
Yeah, so you don't see number two happening?
In my mind's eye, yes. We'll see.
I feel like if you also helped cook the meal, it's fair for him to pay for.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was really weird because I've never seen this before. They brought out like a thing that had like the thing around the grill had had eight just raw eggs in it that were supposed to get scrambled. Mm-hmm. Didn't get scrambled for like the hour and a half we were there, and we were like,
that's weird.
I think these
that's
eggs weird. Are gonna, yeah. We don't know about these eggs. And then the guy comes over with a tea kettle, and I thought, I didn't know what he was about to do. I thought he was going to like pour water in it to make them cook. He poured more eggs in from a tea kettle, and we were like, we're being punked. Like, what is
this? No, sometimes
what is
I feel
this?
Like they're trolling you a little bit.
I think
bit.
They were trolling
and
us.
And you know what? Good for them.
Yeah, I was
good
like,
for them. It's great.
We're not going to eat this now. Like, it's been here forever. But it was, I'd never seen it before.
I really love it because sometimes like the waiters at Korean barbecue places will come over and just like, sigh at you as they turn your food for you, and you're like, I was just about to do it. I don't know what to do. It's,
yeah,
it makes
they were
me laugh
all
a lot.
Over the. They didn't. They wanted to cook it or whatever. They didn't care about that. But it was just a funny. The egg thing was weird.
I had the worst hangar experience of my life at Korean barbecue because we were going to Korean barbecue with some friends, and everyone's like, it's so much food. Like it's all you can eat. Get prepared to fuck shit up. Yeah. So I ran 10 miles, then got super high, and I was like, I'm ready to eat. And I showed up, and they
just
had
piles of meat,
vegan, nothing vegetarian. I was like, do you guys have anything vegetarian? And they gave me a plate of cold mushrooms.
No.
Gross.
Which you couldn't even cook on the grill.
Not even all the sides you can usually eat.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It was like a kimchi pancakes, nothing. It was just like a plate, and like all my friends were just like drunkenly pounding meat around me, and I just turned into the biggest. Like everyone remembers it now when we go out with those friends, they always make sure there's vegetarian shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Korean barbecue, that's something that they should have thought of beforehand.
Right? No, that's not, you don't take a veg to a Korean barbecue.
I'm like, I can hang, even I like steakhouses because they have like they've got great sides. Hang almost everywhere has some
option.
Yeah. Not this place. Yeah. So worst hanger of my life. I mean, stoned and I just run 10 miles.
Mm-hmm. Oh boy.
Horrible.
I know.
That
Thank
sucks.
You. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
That was the two horny.
Second bullet on the no.
Okay.
So,
okay.
But I was just
I
like,
want to talk about horny.
We'll talk about on our top secret session. I'll get into some more details.
Okay.
About last night.
Let's
but
get into number two
this
horny.
Is a separate
All right.
Thing. No, this is what I was thinking on the way over here. I was like, I have to stop treating my horniness like it's an emergency.
Well, that's the nature of horniness, though. Like,
I know it really, but like the thing is, I don't have a regular outlet.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like it's like finding a doctor all of a sudden. Like it's like being sick and being like, all right, who's open on something?
Yeah, your horniness is like diarrhea. You got to go now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's bad because I'm like, oh, like I gotta. I can't just like. I mean, it's fine. I'm not really doing anything crazy, but, you know. Yeah.
You need
it's
a
annoying.
Dependable friend with benefits.
I know, but that never works out.
Yeah, that's, I mean, I think that's equally a myth as like a that's just as much of a Prince Charming kind of thing as like
a
relationship
something
guy.
Weird. Yeah, yeah, there's just not, it's just not.
Because you don't, I mean, I don't know, unless you like really just like don't like the person or like you just truly are only sexually compatible, but then it's also like you're not going to think of that person then as like someone you want to continue to invest in or something. It's like I don't know, I guess
I do have a friend like that, but he gets he's always like drunk and I'm like, well, I don't want to have to be wasted and fuck, you know, that's not fun to me. It's hard. I don't know. It's just funny.
I had a good one for a while, and I think the key is like you need to find someone who's like just as afraid of commitment as you, so that like both of you are just like
I'm not afraid of commitment. Right. Yeah. That's not what I'm afraid of. It just it has to be somebody who I know that it doesn't work with me that way. But you know, like you're saying, but you don't want to not like them.
But you want to be friends. Yeah, you need the friend part.
You have to like still like them as a person, and I feel like that's harder. Because then you, not even like you're gonna develop feelings, but then it's like it's too easy for them to be misconstrued in a way to where
for sure
someone is like, this is, we can't do this anymore. It's too
I mean, I feel like there's a five, for me, there's like a maybe a 5-time limit on a friend with benefits, and then after that, it's like, I can't.
What are we doing?
Like,
well, it's also like, you know, if that's where your energy's going, then you're, you know,
exactly. You're not really elsewhere. Putting yourself out there for other things.
Get a more expensive vibrator. I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
That's so mean. Jesus.
I'm just kidding.
I'm out of ideas.
I just did this morning, and I'm still having an issue.
I think vibrators are great, but I do think that it's not the
same. It's not
same.
The same.
No. I mean,
it's like a Cliff Bar for sex.
Yeah,
like, it'll do.
For sure. You're like, okay, if there's nothing else, but I'm definitely still fucking hungry.
And it actually makes you sometimes even hungrier.
Exactly. It's like, I do feel like it's like a different... it's like, you know, when you've eaten a big meal and then they're like, you're like, oh, I'm so full. But then there's like another kind of food that you still could eat. You're like, oh, it's that.
Yeah.
I feel like a vibrator is like that for being horny, where you're like, I'm not that kind of hungry
sushi
anymore.
Yeah.
I'm hungry for like a meal, you know?
Vibrators are sushi and In-N-Out is still out there.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, that's a good, we'll be back.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, we're back. I'm late. Tess is already laughing. We're here with Julia Loken.
Hey.
Hi. And what is this? So we're going to do a MySpace quiz.
Yeah.
I've got a MySpace. It'll put a smile on your face. Now it's time for a MySpace quiz.
Tess wants to read her bio.
I just, like, relate pretty hard to this girl. So this is her bio. Ricky is a single 30-something content creator and digital influencer from Central Arkansas. She's passionate about skincare, beauty, travel, fashion, blogging, reading, and being an advocate for women's health issues. She's a dog mom to Sophie, a Maltby Poo,
and
the cool aunt to 8 nieces and nephews.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a real, real wide-eye situation.
That's very funny. Wait, is this a current MySpace profile?
No, somebody just did like an old MySpace quiz on
this
there.
This is 50 questions MySpace style.
Okay, got it. That I was just like, wait
Ooh,
a minute.
Seven comments.
Because it was,
comments.
It also was in Arkansas, so I was like, I guess a content creator in Arkansas might still think that.
I'd still be on MySpace.
MySpace is a viable place to be putting out your material.
MySpace is just the Arkansas next door.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, I was big. I fucking loved MySpace quizzes. That was like.
Oh, right.
Before, I feel like that's the first time, that's like the first attempt I made at like writing jokes doing stand up was like I started doing funny MySpace quizzes just like in college, like in class. I'd be like, not paying attention to this, doing something more important. Do I have any regrets? No, just good stories.
Oh, okay.
Definitely had some pretty funny blog posts back in the day.
Oh.
Very proud. Very proud of them.
Oh, here's a good one. What song do you want played at your funeral?
Ooh. Oh, my goodness.
Why me? I know.
If we're talking in MySpace time frame, then the song At Your Funeral by Saves the Day would be the song that you would play at your funeral.
MySpace themed funeral?
That's
That would be literally sadder than an actual funeral.
Your top eight gets to do the eulogy.
Oh yeah. With that floppy hair on my fucking corpse. Do it.
It's just your quote under your picture. That's on your tombstone.
Jesus.
I don't know. I like.
This is gonna be set in stone, so you better.
I know. Well, I just the first thing that comes to mind, and probably because I just watched this movie, maybe when I paint my masterpiece by The Band.
Yeah.
What movie?
The Last Waltz.
Oh,
dads, for any dads out there listening, what's up?
Well, I do hope we have some dads listening. Hi. Not my dad, but other ones.
Other people's dads.
Yeah.
I know my dad listens sometimes. So, hey, Pops.
What's up, Chuck?
Chuck? Oh. Yeah, Chuck. Charles Elwood Posey. He listens to us sometimes.
Remember you were hanging out? You were just listening to it next to you?
We're watching some fucking movie. I look over. He's got a headphone in his ear. And I go, what's going on over there? And he goes, listen to your podcast.
Truly nightmare.
Total nightmare. He might have been doing it to troll me. I don't actually know if he really regularly listens. This will be the test. Hey, Dad. What's up?
I got my Neil Diamond song, Hell Yeah. That's my go-to.
Nice.
The song's all about, like, was my life worth it? Did I do all the right shit? Hell yeah.
That song rules.
That's a great song.
Mine's really, I would just always say Another One Bites the Dust.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
It should be, what is Work Bitch?
Inspirational.
Like, just
you're gonna die.
Doesn't mean the rest of
you better work, bitch.
I'm just lowered down.
You want
like
a hot corpse?
Disco ball?
Yeah.
Dude, that's a very good one.
That'd be pretty good. There's a song by Streetlight Manifesto called "Somewhere in the In Between." That would be mine. Nobody knows anything about it, but it's great.
It's a good title.
Yeah, it's a great song, and it's all about just like, hey, you were born one day, and it was great, and you'll die, and that'll suck, but it's all about what happened in the middle.
Yeah,
fun little ska song. Teach everybody a little something when I'm dead. It'd be fun. Here's a new band, guys.
If you liked this,
check it. People are Shazamming at your wedding.
That's all I want.
Your wedding, your funeral.
My funeral.
Oh, Freudian slip? I don't know. No, I went to a funeral once and they played two songs just over and over again. And the first one was like a Motown song. I don't remember now because the other one was Bone Thugs and Harmony.
Oh, damn.
That's good.
And they just kept repeating those?
Just back and forth.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
I had a friend who died and his dad sang Bring Him Home from Les Mis.
Oh,
boy.
You can't sing it. Don't sing it.
He was a great. It was like the most heartbreaking thing I've ever seen in my life.
That's too. That's.
Yeah.
I
mean, I get very stressed every time singing almost happens at a funeral or a wedding. Both times, I'm always just like, you better fucking nail it.
That's how I feel about the national anthem. I hate to watch someone eat shit on the national anthem.
Yeah.
Because you can tell right away if they're going to be able to nail that high note at the end. And
I'm just on. Just hold your breath for them.
Yeah. Like,
please do. I feel that way anytime anyone sings. I don't care where it is, but I'm just like, all right, you chose this.
Would you guys rather sing the national anthem or throw the first pitch? Because I'd definitely rather sing.
I'd rather sing. Absolutely.
I have a weird fear of singing in public.
I have a weird fear of throwing
me
things.
Me too.
Thank you.
Really? Yes. I'm so bad at it. Yes. It's so embarrassing.
I hate it. Even if someone's like, toss me that, I'm like, nope.
Yeah,
I
can't.
Interesting.
I mean, I will, but I'm also, I think it's just happened so many times where I've like tossed it to someone and I've broken something. It's like hit someone in the face or whatever. That I'm just like, I don't need to do this. It's a few steps.
I'm playing cornhole. I'm playing frisbee. That thing is going nowhere. It's going the opposite direction. It's so bad.
I do feel like a traitor to my gender whenever I like step into a beer pong game because I want to like rock it. And then I'm like, of course the fucking chick comes in and can't hit any of the fucking, you know. Mm-hmm.
But it's like, who's good at that's such a fucking
people
dumb
are,
thing to be good at.
Yeah, not me. Yeah,
it's an intense skill to build that's for yourself.
I can't be intentional. I could be like accidentally good at that, but not.
Yeah,
not. It's like bowling.
Same with bowling and pool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I don't care, I'm nailing it. Yeah, but the second I start to get competitive, though, gutter balls all over the place.
Yeah, it's
just like life, guys.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just don't
it's the
care.
The opposite of the secret.
You gotta get in the zone.
Let's do another hot MySpace question.
What do we got? What do we got?
What do you prefer to drink in the morning? It's kind of a boring one, but it's the answer.
Water with lemon.
Oh, are you on that kick?
Yes, that's my go-to.
Does it, like, detoxify you?
Yeah, I don't know if it
actually does,
but I like
gives
it. Yeah,
the water a little kick, so you drink more.
Yeah, and then it makes me, and then I just
get
like,
your shit moving in the morning too.
Pound a big old glass
of
water.
Town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go to Pound Town. I don't have enough of a consistent like morning routine to have a like coffee tea ritual. I'm always just like, whatever I've got time for, I'll figure it out. Like,
oh man, I gotta say something really embarrassing.
Okay.
My roommate Ryan drinks 5-hour energies and he's gotten me into drinking them and I'm
Barbara.
So ashamed.
Who cares? That's awesome.
How many? You're gonna start gelling your hair up?
I know. I was telling Robin about this and she was like, what? Just drink coffee, and I was like, it's too much liquid.
I agree with you. Yeah.
5-hour just gets it
it's
done.
It's a compact way to get your caffeine in.
Oh, thank God. I feel okay.
Absolutely. You think I'm going to just 5-hour energy shame you? Not right here.
But it was just funny because he drinks vodka and he, like, not those together, but that vodka is his,
like,
liquor of choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I was going to, like, I had in my bag, I had like a little bottle of vodka and a 5-hour, and I was like, what am I is happening? I'm turning into my roommate.
I support this.
Okay. All right. Now I don't feel too bad.
I'm just going to sit over here.
Energy is like the espresso of rock
stars.
It
really is. It's just a fast. I was like, it's just a fast way to not die when I'm going to do something.
Exactly. I have a friend who drinks those when he's running marathons, and I think that's, well, we've talked, my story about when I sharded myself was because of a 5-hour energy drink.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't seem like a good idea. That friend.
Make sure you got a bucket around.
That friend who drinks them during marathons, because of him, I was like, oh, I'll bring one for this 18-mile run. And then I pounded it at like mile 14 and I felt like Super Mario. Like I was like, vroom, vroom, vroom. I was like, I'm for sure going to do this next time I run a marathon. I felt so fucking good. And then as soon as I stopped running, I almost passed like all of my. Yeah.
It's a burst. It's for sure a burst.
Yeah,
it's not sustained.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Yeah. Just a flash in the pan. Okay.
Okay. Wait. Current hate right now.
Oh.
This is hard. There's so many things.
I know. I'm like, I don't know.
One.
I'm like, ice.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
It's a pretty big one.
Yeah.
Take that, ice. Fucking
yeah,
hate
fucking
listening to this podcast.
They might be.
Get abolished, bitch.
They might be. Jake Flores got visited at his house.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
What did
he
say?
He had some joke on Twitter about, like, I don't even remember what it was. It was like either shooting ice or something like that. He made some joke about it, and they like showed up at his house the next day. So.
Well, if you want to subscribe to our Patreon and get access to the top secret session, see what we're really saying about
lay out my plans.
See what government institutions
read ice so hard.
Exactly. Make sure you guys subscribe, government.
Yes. Ooh, favorite place to be?
In the moment.
Just kidding. God. Go fuck yourself.
You just read a Target t-shirt to us.
I'm absolutely kidding. I don't know, like, I don't know if I have a favorite, like, place right now. I'm just going to say, like, at home, on the couch, probably, like, pounding a Halo top and watching Fixer Upper.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Which one's Fixer Upper? Is it a house?
Yeah. Okay. That's the one, Chip and Joanna. That's where they, like,
They're the big ones.
They pick out three houses for this couple that's finding a house. One of them, like, doesn't need that much work.
Yeah.
One of them needs so much work. It's going to need a lot of imagination to even imagine how this could possibly be livable. I'm talking, like, trash.
Yeah.
Rats. Stuff like that. And then the other one's, like, it's got weird 70s walls or something like that.
That's always what it is. Yeah, what's this slope doing?
Yeah, they're like, sorry, this one was from the 70s, so it's kind of weird, but I have a lot of ideas.
They amaze me with it, like how they reduce it. I could not picture doing any of that in my life, what they come up with.
I love it. I love they always have their like segments with them. They're always on the farm. There's goats.
There's goats.
I like a goat.
Yeah, a lot of goats. Chip is always bringing home pets unannounced.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And then Joanna's always making snide comments about his weight.
Didn't they get divorced?
No, they just welcomed baby number 5.
Whoa.
Damn.
Yeah. No, she'll always be like, yeah, you're so strong. oh, yeah, shirt looks a little tight, babe, and just, like, tap him on his belly, and I'm like, God. This is tight.
He's like, what do you expect? You married a fixer-upper.
I know.
Yeah. Exactly. That's your
I
life.
Was the 70s house.
Yeah. I am shocked that there isn't a dating show equivalent of that.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, that's surprising.
Like the Goldilocks? Like,
yeah, or something where three, I'd be like, here's a guy who's, like, a total...
Here's a guy who shits in a bucket.
Yeah, here's this total piece of shit. Here's a guy who's, like, probably out of your league, but, like, isn't going to be great, but, like, it's going to look really good on paper. And then here's a guy who, like... I feel like shits in the bucket's like the 70s wall.
Right.
Where it's like, it's a weird, here's that.
It's an easy fix. It's one quirky thing.
Yeah. One thing. Yeah.
The trash house is like some, like, virgin who's never met a woman that you could just, like, train really well. Like, you could start from
the beginning.
Yeah, there's nothing.
Like, you're going to have to
start from scratch.
From zero.
Yeah. But, like, when it's done, you could build up your dream man.
It'll be all yours.
Yeah.
Blank canvas.
All fireplaces.
There's an empty lot.
What was I thinking? I don't know. Something. Sorry, guys. It's gone.
It's all good.
Have you ever smoked a cigarette?
Yes, absolutely.
Bad girl's club.
I'm a bad girl. No, I'm three years smoke free.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Oh,
do you have to like do anything to do it, or you just stop?
No, I think I just waited. I like would quit for periods of time over the years, and for whatever reason I had just like an arbitrary when I started smoking, it's probably like 18, like senior year of high school. I turned 18 like in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And so I would just be like, I can legally buy these. Isn't that cool? Like, what a fucking nerd that
honestly,
I was just like.
I still kind of feel that if I ever buy them.
I thought I felt too.
But I had a friend who smoked. And so like, I would just smoke a little bit, not a ton. And then over the years, and then especially with like comedy, because you can smoke so much. And it's just a good excuse to like go out of the room during an open mic when there's boring sets going on. But I had this arbitrary thing when I started that I was like, if I don't want to do it for more than 10 years. And then it was 3 years ago was like 10 years. I was like, if I don't quit now, I'm just going to keep doing it. And, you know, I was cold turkey. It was like shitty for the first week or so, but then it was pretty.
Why is cold turkey a phrase?
I think that's just like how your brain feels like when you're trying to quit something.
Cold turkey.
That sounds accurate.
Because it doesn't. What, I don't know. When we were talking, I was talking with somebody. Where does a fly by the seat of your pants come from? What could that possibly mean?
I mean, I just think the visual is so accurate. Because you're not really hanging on. Like, it's just like, it's a very tenuous connection to whatever
you're doing. Like, you're upside down and, like, you're being held.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't have thought of it that way, but that makes sense. Like, when I hear that phrase, I think of it like you're still sitting upright. But that, to me, makes sense if you're, I'm imagining someone now being, like, airlifted out. Yeah. Where you're, like, on the thing.
Okay.
So think about it, too.
Yeah.
Cold turkey, it means suddenly or without preparation, and cold turkey is something that you can just pull out of the fridge and eat real quick. So, like, if you quit cold turkey, you're just quitting with nothing.
You're not warming it up and making it.
It's probably like the 50s.
Leftovers. We should just call it leftovers.
I quit leftovers. Yeah. That might get confusing.
Yes.
The earliest use of it, 1920. So, I mean, in the 20s.
Hey, I quit cold turkey.
Yeah, that makes more sense. I feel like everyone was like, wow, see?
Yeah, quitting flappas, cold turkey.
God, 23.
My Charleston days are over.
Yeah. Do you know how to do the Charleston?
Yeah.
Everyone does, right?
Yeah, I've seen that scene in It's a Wonderful Life enough, right?
Yeah.
You do it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do it to any song, too.
Yeah, it's really great. When I taught senior citizens aerobics, that was in every routine. I did a lot of Charleston, a lot of jazz squares. Mm-hmm.
They loved it. Jazz squares, you can just go back and forth. Kind of mix it up a tiny bit, but it's really not.
Exactly.
What were you doing at 12 a.m. last night, Julia?
I was in a hot tub in Corona.
Whoa. Damn, dude.
Hell yeah.
With Steve's sister and brother-in-law and their nephews. We were talking. Yeah. We went over there.
Talking shit on Steve?
No, I forget what we were talking about, but. Yeah, I was in the hot tub.
This is what I was going to ask you. So you went, Steve wanted to go to Magic Mike for his birthday.
Yes.
So I've never been to Magic Mike with guys.
Yes.
What was the experience was like going with dudes?
Well, I've never been without guys, so I don't know how much different it would have been, but I do think they were a little, like, because you know how they, like, walk around and do that?
They're a little less.
They probably were a little less, like, touchy, but I think we also were, like, cheering so loudly, and, like,
they were scared of you.
Steve and John Michael were, like, definitely, but Steve at one point was, like, standing up, and, you know, if he had a hat, he would have thrown it for sure.
Yeah.
But I, like, towards the end, they seemed to get more comfortable, but they were just kind of, like, brush your knee.
Oh. Like, walking, because they, like, full-on come up to you.
Well, but that's what I was like. I also was just trying to see, like, how they were interacting with the other women, too, and it didn't seem like maybe we just had, like, a tamer night. It didn't seem like they were doing that much with the other women either. So
it kind of all depends on what, like, they're taught to, like, read how you're feeling, too. So they could have just been, like, kind of a standoffish around you.
Have I been twice or three times? Twice.
I think twice, yeah.
I've never been touched by any of them.
Really?
Yes.
That's going to change on your
fucking hope so.
For sure.
Once you have that bride crown thing on or whatever, then they have to. But I also feel like
it's legally in their contracts. Yeah.
I feel like I give off a vibe that's like, I don't know. I never get, like, heckled or not heckled, but I've never been.
Like, don't fuck with
me. Yeah, I've never been picked on at a comedy show, even when, or like when I go to the, like, not Scary Farm or whatever. Mm-hmm. Nobody comes up and, like, jumps at me. I've
got a lot of that too. Yeah.
I don't know if it's like I just, like, look bitchy or if I just am, like, too excited almost to where they're like, this isn't going to be fun. She's going to play along too much.
I remember being in fourth grade and slapping a werewolf at a haunted hayride, and I think that they can sense that from me.
Yeah,
right. Just like the Magic Mike guys are trained to, like, the werewolves are now trained to go towards someone who's going to slap them.
They're looking out for their personal safety.
Yeah, I just remember being on, like, a hayride, and, like, we're just going along. I've never been in a haunted hayride before or since, and this werewolf came behind me with, like, a chainsaw and started, like, doing it on, like, the thing next to us, and I, like, hated it. I just slapped him in the face, and he went, ugh, and he ran away.
That seems like a really dangerous job.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably get hit a lot.
Yeah.
I danced in the parade at Magic Mountain's Fright Fest in high school.
What were you?
We were like, so I was on dance team, and it was like a dance team thing, and you would go and you'd get this, like, I guess we were like ghouls.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because they just gave us these. I was talking about this last night, actually. They gave us these, like, we didn't get assigned these. They just had like the ghoul suits. So you just go put on
a random one.
Which hopefully they like wash, but it was just like a white bodysuit with like a turtleneck, and then they just put this like gauzy like poncho on you, and then you just like do your hair kind of wacky, and then but you'd have to like do, I think we did our own, like you'd do your face all white, but then you'd go and they'd airbrush you. You'd have to like scrunch up your face, so then it would give you the like
the black
wrinkles and hollowed out and stuff like that.
That's cool.
But you'd see all of these other like crate, like the stilts guys and the clowns getting like weird eyes put in, and it was
cool.
It was definitely makes it like less scary now, but I'm sure I'm sure you get punched all the time.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
You just like, have to be so passionate about scaring people that you're like, I'll take one for the team.
And there are people like that. People are like super into it. I'm like,
Have you ever been to Haunted Hayride in Griffith Park?
I want to.
It's
like $1 million, though.
It's cool, but it's also like all out of work actors.
I know,
that
it's
are
all theater.
It.
So yeah, it's like actors.
That. It kind of also bums me out that it's like, oh man, like someone like put this as a booking on their like website.
No, for sure.
Last time I went to Halloween Horror Nights, they had sexy Freddy Kruegers dancing in cages in the front.
That's dope.
This is a gig.
That's really
this
cool.
This is a gig. Yeah.
That sounds fun.
That's really funny.
Yeah, I would
mean,
do that.
More fun than walking around and scaring people.
Yeah. I mean, anything prancing based, I'm on board for.
It's hard to dance for a long time, though. Dancing for 3 hours in like a cage, that'd be a long time.
It may be a great workout, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's, you could tell, like, that's that in Vegas when, like, there's girls at clubs that are just, like, standing on the boxes, like, you could tell their heart's not in it. They're just, like, standing back and forth.
Yeah.
And they have to wear a big old watch so they can keep time so they take breaks and stuff.
Yeah. God, I remember being in the Rio one time, and like there was a cocktail waitress walking around, and then like a bell rang, and she just went, and she got, and she stood up on the nearest casino thing and just started just like dancing, and, and like nobody looked at her, and I was like, oh,
someone has to be looking.
I don't know what it is. I love dancing on things. Like I like, give me a ledge. You've been to Vegas with me. Like I will find a ledge and I will dance on it. I love like dancing places I'm not supposed to.
You're a performer and a rebel. That's what it is.
And an occasional drunk.
We're going to go find a ledge for Tess to dance on.
We'll be nice.
Welcome back to Lady, I'm Brandy.
I am Barbara.
I'm Tess.
And we're with Julia.
What up?
You want to give some advice?
Yes. Good. I love giving advice. Unsolicited, mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is solicited,
but
so
yeah,
you should
so
feel
this
good.
This is even better. Yes.
If you have a lady problem, send them to ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com.
Lady problems. Lady problems. Do you have them? Lady problems. Do you have them? People have them.
I'll read this. Okay. Hey, ladies. I'm 22 years old, and I got out of a very emotionally abusive relationship about a year ago. And since then, I've been working on myself and discovering the badass bitch within me. Anyway, about 4 months ago, I started a new relationship with this guy who I've been friends with since high school. He's one of the most genuine and kind people I've ever met. Our relationship has been a breath of fresh air compared to my last, and it's made me realize that I do deserve someone like him. He also knows about my shitty past relationships, and he really makes an effort to make sure I'm happy and that we are communicating as well as we can. However, this is also his first relationship, and I was even his first kiss, and basically his first everything. Here's my problem. I love him, and I don't know if I should say anything. I'm afraid that since everything is so new for him that I might scare him off somehow. Is 4 months not enough time to determine if you love someone or not? He casually mentioned once that he has a lot of feelings for me but doesn't want to say anything until he's absolutely sure, and I understand that completely. Should I just wait for him to say it, or should I follow my gut, say it first, and see what happens? I don't want him to feel pressured to say anything he doesn't entirely mean yet, or my worst fear, maybe not at all. Any advice would be greatly appreciated. I mean, 4 months is for sure.
Yeah, that's for
long
sure.
Enough to know if you love somebody.
Yeah, you know at that point.
You know. Yeah, you know. I mean, usually very quickly. I think.
I think 4 months is like a pretty ideal time to say it. I think so.
That's reasonable. That doesn't sound too fast, or like that you haven't given enough time to actually figure it out. You're not just caught up in like the newness of it or anything like that. You've probably had arguments at this point, and like you're like, okay, yeah, like I like this person enough.
Yeah, the honeymoon phase is like
some of the shines come off.
Yeah.
Car doesn't smell new anymore, but it's still a new car.
And also to the point of like, I also think like if he doesn't love you, then maybe cut away at this point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That it's
he should know by now for sure.
It sounds like if it's his first relationship, I think you are going to have to say it first, just because it doesn't sound like he's going to. Even if he does, he's probably afraid to be saying it too early. And since he doesn't have a ton of relationship experience, he doesn't know that that's probably okay. Even if he's probably wanted to say it longer, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then, if he doesn't, then, stop. 4 months is enough time to have spent on a thing.
Like, and also, then it starts getting awkward at some point. If you've been together that long, you haven't said it yet.
It's definitely.
It's like, how do you say goodnight?
Bye.
You're cool.
Yeah.
Peace out, dude.
It was funny. When I went to Janelle Monáe the other night, I went with Robin, and I was thinking about how if I had gone with that guy who I was sort of dating before, there was at one point she was like, I want you to look at the person you're here with who you love and hug them. And I was like, this would be so uncomfortable, because if you were like got with somebody you're just dating and haven't said I love you yet. I always think about that in a crowd or something, when like a comic talks about, or anything, where you're like, if someone's in there and they're in that weird in between part,
and everyone's like, I don't know.
You take a comedy show.
Yes, there you go.
Make somebody talk about saying I love you and point you guys out.
I think when Sean and I were first dating, my brother's like in-laws, we all were hanging out, and my brother's mother-in-law like asked Sean like in front of us, she was like, is this your boyfriend? And I was just like,
sure.
Like, that was the first thing.
If you're hanging out with your brother-in-law, mom, probably.
Yeah, most likely.
If you're going that far down the line. But yeah, I think this is totally a normal time to say it.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know it, and you want to say it. I mean, do it. Go for it.
Just say it, but you don't need to make like a whole rose ceremony out of it.
No. Yeah. And you know what? That's the kind of the coolest thing about saying it, is it's like, you obviously am... My past, I waited until like it literally was like bursting out. You know what I mean? And like that's what's fun is when you really love somebody, it's like those small things that you love about them. And they could be doing like the dumbest. I remember this guy I fell in love with in like right after college. He was like helping me tie my shoe because I had tripped or something. And I was like, well, there it is. I knew right then. Yeah. So it's that, like, it's fun to like find that moment to say it. Totally. Kind of, I think.
Well, it's also like a thing for, I know it's scary because you're worried that, you know, whether or not he'll reciprocate it and stuff, but that's also like a beautiful thing that you can give to him to like reassure him that that's, you know, because again, he's probably feeling the same way that you are too, where it's like no one wants to say it first, no one wants to, you know, scare the other one away. So it's like a cool opportunity for you to kind of pay that for your relationship experience forward in this instance.
I remember the first guy I ever had sex with, we had been together for like a year before we ever had sex. But we said I love you before that. Anyway, we were like making out on his bed or something, and he said it in my ear and I didn't hear him.
Oh no.
Oh man, you had a sitcom situation.
I know, like Seinfeld.
How did you find out that he said it?
Well, because we were like just laying there and he was like, did you hear me? And I was like, what? And he's like, I love you. And I was like, oh, I am not here. So we like resolved it right then. But I think he like had a few minutes of like,
oh, wow.
That's so funny. It's like, hello.
Knock, knock.
But I mean, I think like Tess said, like you're pretty much in the safe zone, I think. But if he feels, then that is like a weird.
Then also you should have that information. And bone out.
Exactly. It also, like, if he doesn't say it immediately in the moment, I think give him a day or two. Like, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. He could just be like,
It could just be, I mean, process this is the first time a girl said I love you to him. That could, he might need a fucking minute to deal with that.
Yeah.
If you're all of his first. So,
although I feel like every time anyone has said it to me, I just have this knee-jerk reaction to say, I love you too. I don't even give myself time to think about if I actually, like.
You ever say it to someone on accident who's, like, not, like, yeah, teacher or something? You're like, oops.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I love ending a phone call with, I love you, bye, to people that I don't. It's always hilarious. Like, oh, oops, bye. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think say it. It's not...
anytime you love somebody, it's a good thing. So don't treat it with this like hand wringing, like, you know, just like, no, if you love someone, that means you're capable of love. And that's always a great thing to remind yourself.
If you love someone, let it go. And by that, I mean saying I love you.
Yes. Out of your mouth. That is a great point, that it is like, I mean, I don't think we should just like be telling people that we don't love, that we love them, like as a tool of manipulation. But it is also like meant to be something that doesn't have to be like reciprocated necessarily, but for you to still feel it. So I think it's also a good idea to make sure you're focusing on like what you're feeling too. It's not so much with the intent of getting a specific response. It's expressing how you're genuinely feeling, especially if you're coming out of something like kind of abusive or emotionally, whatever it is. It's good to be in touch with how you're feeling so you can express that honestly too, and trust those feelings and honor those, even if the response isn't what you wanted.
Yeah.
Cause you can handle that too. You know, it sucks, but it doesn't sound like that's the case in this instance, but it's important to like know, be in touch with that regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When Sean and I were pretty early into dating, because, you know, I lived in a place that had a really cool backyard, and there was a wedding at our house, at my house, and he spent the night, and we got drunk at this wedding. I didn't know the people, but it was my house.
Yeah.
And so then we were in my bed, and I was like, if we get married, let's have a big wedding. And he was like, what? We've been together for like a month.
That's so great. But you knew.
Yeah. And then now we're getting married.
Yeah.
And you're having a big wedding.
I got one of those, like, but I wasn't even thinking about it. And then, as soon as I got the what, I was like, but it was already out there.
But that's good, too, when you just, like, say it, not, like, think. I mean, it'd be weird if you, like, planned to say it, but you're just being, you know, speaking honestly in that. I was, like, the guy in this relationship that I'm definitely, Steve said it first, for sure, and I don't remember what I said, but it was not. It was not charming, my response.
You just went for a fist bump.
I was just like, I think he said it and maybe said, like, you don't have to say it back. And then it went a little while, like, days later or something like that. And then I was just like, I don't know. I'm like very, I'm not emotionally stunted, but I like get angry at myself when I'm like having feelings often. So I'll be like, I love you. And I'm mad that I like am letting you have this power over me. Like that. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I love you. Are you happy? Like that kind of. But now I say it all the time. But at the beginning, it's, you don't want to be the first one. Like,
that's probably a weird position to be in.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said, like for women, especially now when we're like, it's a hard like line to ride, where it's like, am I being, is this a thing that's making me feel empowered, or am I doing this also out of a like self-protective way too, where it's it feels good to have someone say it first, but it also could feel good to be the one to say it, but those both can make you feel equally empowered and disempowered.
Definitely.
That was a lot of roundabout ways of saying it, but
because there could be that desire to be the one that's in control of it.
Yeah. Which can make you feel less like
that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Give me that control.
Yeah.
I like being in control, but like not seeming like I'm in control.
Well, that's the best trick. Yeah.
Like just, you know.
Yeah. You're simultaneously behind the curtain and in front of the curtain.
Yes, exactly. You're like, oh no, I'm not. I'm loosey goosey over here.
I think that's how women have done everything since always.
Yeah, we fucking rule.
Like, the key is just making people think it was their idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really fun to learn more and more as you get older.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. I don't know how to play this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially men. Like, they're actually very easy to control.
Sweet cackle.
Yeah.
I just watched that movie. Have you guys seen that movie, The Love Witch?
No.
Uh-uh.
It's like a smaller like indie movie, and I didn't finish it, but that just reminded me of that, where it's like she like gets dumped by a guy and then becomes like an actual witch. So there's a lot of like occult stuff
about it.
It too, but she is like having this conversation with someone, but she's talking about like, she's like, oh, I just wish I knew then what I know now, because like now I know how to like make men do exactly what I want. But it's like also very I don't know, it's, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie, I'm not gonna continue on it, but I was like, spoiler alert, she's a love witch.
Yeah.
Kitchener
witch. It's fun.
That's cool. I've heard about it. I just haven't watched it yet.
Should we do this? You got this, gal. Yeah. I'm excited for you.
Go out there and get that guy.
Yeah. That guy.
We love you.
Yeah.
yes. It's easy.
Yeah, let's do this other one.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hey, ladies. So this question is kind of dumb, but I'm writing to you guys anyway because I really don't have anyone else I can ask about without being super embarrassed. I'm turning 21 in August, and I've never smoked weed and desperately want to try.
Nice.
It's not that I've had it's not that I haven't had opportunities to. I just never have because the desire wasn't high enough. And none of my friends smoke, and neither does my boyfriend, but only because he's in the military. Now that I've decided to move closer to move for college from San Diego to Michigan, where weed is still illegal, I transfer in spring. I want to try some before I go. A question then is basically, how do you get it? Can you smoke it? Is it weird to smoke by yourself? And also, how do you even smoke it? Also, are edibles a good option or more of a special occasion thing? Thank you so much for any advice you can offer. I'm also very sorry, Brandy, because I know this isn't your thing, but I feel like you'll still slam dunk me with some good advice anyway. You always do. Thank you so much.
This is so cute.
This is adorable.
Well, if you're me, you ask the busser at the steakhouse that you work at.
Good call.
He gives you some very bad weed. And then
and you pay too much
start.
For it. Yeah. If you're me, then you're at a party in high school and somebody gives you a Coke can filled with weed and just says to inhale, and then you don't think you're high, and then you come home and play pinball for 3 hours.
There you go.
So if you're in California, mm-hmm. Or if you're in any state where weed is legal, use an app called Weed Maps. That will literally find your location and tell you the closest. I mean, California has recreational weed, so it should be very easy for you to get to San Diego.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just go on Weed Maps, into your location, and it'll give you a dispensary. That's how you get it.
but like what, like the dispensaries are like kind of intimidating if you've never been to one before, right?
Cause they still intimidate me.
Yeah.
Really?
Cause it's like a guy with a gun at the door and there's like a lot of questions you have to answer.
Not really anymore.
Okay.
There's some very,
they're not as high. Yeah. Security as it used to be.
Okay. Now that it's recreationally legal, there's actually some very, like nice high end. I mean, the cannabis industry is really sort of like leaning more towards people who are just trying weed for the first time. And they're kind of trending away from like things with pot leaves on them and stuff like that, and more like you'll find products that look like they'll be in Whole Foods that are flowery and pretty and cute. Mm-hmm. And most people at dispensaries, I find them very knowledgeable and very cool. Like if you tell them like, I want something that's going to make me laugh and just watch TV, they should be able to help you pick out something that you
but
want.
But I do agree that dispensaries can, especially if you've never been in one, would be a little intimidating. And I still get intimidated by them as somebody who has smoked a bunch. So the first time I would try to do it with a friend, that would be preferable to me. But I guess she doesn't have that option. If you do, I would be like, hey, I want to try this. Can we smoke together?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, because, and then they have it themselves and then they can bring you there with them or something like that.
Yeah.
If you have that option, do it. But yeah, most people are very friendly. And I would just go in there and say like, yeah, I just want something very mild. You probably want to get something mild your first time.
So yes, absolutely. Yes.
Weed in California can be very strong.
Go with us. Ask them for a sativa. That'll be the one. Well, okay. A sativa is the more like awakey one and like more kind of like, well, if you're going to do it with another person, I would recommend a sativa because that'll make you more talkative and laughing. Sativas, because they are the more uppity one, can get your head spinning a little bit more. So if you're prone to paranoia, I'd maybe go with an indica.
Would it make sense to start with a CBD that doesn't have the psychotropic effects?
It doesn't really make, it's does just it? Not the same.
Yeah. It means like get you high.
Okay.
But, I mean, maybe a high CBD strain. That's the I feel like I'm getting too technical here. There is like some strains that are lower in THC and higher in CBD, and that might be a good place to start as a beginner.
Yeah, I would definitely ask for the mild on THC end because I liked that. Like I said, I liked that that was my first experience smoking because it was like very mild. It was a mild ushering into what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I think also tell people, whoever you're asking, that it's your first time. I know it's kind of embarrassing, but people also really like helping people and sharing the stuff that they know about stuff. So I think that, again, I know you might feel embarrassed about it, but I think that you'll have a much better experience. Mm-hmm. And like, because people can also give you advice about like things to do and things to look out for and stuff like that.
How long does a high last? What time of day is a good, like can you do stuff afterwards?
I would just have an afternoon open probably.
Yeah, if it's your first time, I give yourself like 3 or 4 hours.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's see.
It all depends on you. I mean, that's why I would just go, mild. I get high instantly for way too long. So that's what happens to me. Okay. So I don't know. It just it depends on the person, pretty much.
To be safe, mostly probably just have an evening.
I would not plan on doing anything
just in case.
And you might fall asleep after. So I would just be home, like, maybe probably at home or at a friend's house somewhere where you can just crash out after.
Somewhere comfortable is important for sure.
Edibles are definitely a good option, especially if you're not comfortable smoking things. The thing with what's great about weed being legal now is there's much more specificity in terms of what is in an edible. Like, it used to be this like crazy Russian roulette where you would just be like, I have no idea. Some dude named Jimmy just gave me a brownie. I don't know. But I recommend for people who are just starting out, 5 milligrams, I think, is a great amount for
those espresso beans or the blueberries. That's a big thing.
That's like one blueberry is 5 milligrams. I would start there. I think that's probably going to be a good dosage for you.
You can always eat more. Just remember that.
You can always smoke more. You can always eat more.
You can't.
At what point should you, if like that doesn't do it for
an
you?
An hour. I would wait an hour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Especially an edible. You need to wait for that to kick in for sure.
Cool. Everyone has the edible story of it's not like working. So they,
Cool.
But if you do want to smoke it, here's how you do it. Your pipe is going to have a bowl in it. It's going to have like a divoted area where with a hole in the bottom of it. Break off a little bit, kind of crumble it up so that it's not a big chunk of leaf, because it'll set on fire more easily that way. Then on the side is going to be another hole that is called the carb.
Just to send you a diagram.
Put your finger over that side hole thing while you're lighting the leaves. Keep your finger there, and then as you inhale, release your thumb from that side hole.
What is the pros and cons of that versus pre-rolled joints?
I love pre-rolled joints. I think it's just what you think will be more pleasurable. Joints are great.
Okay, cool. I didn't know if there was a difference.
They're about the same. Yeah. It's pretty much just the straight weed. Okay,
so it's your personal preference.
Yeah, I mean, I like joints because I am a former cigarette smoker. And
that's what I was going
to
say.
Yeah, if you're just starting, you might want to do that so you don't have to buy the pipe and everything. Because if you don't like it, then you're not going to want to get the shit that goes with it.
This is I've never smoked anything, so here's a weird question. When you are smoking, are you just breathing in, or do you like suck
you
in?
Like, yeah, you if you're gonna inhale, you like hold it in your kind of mouth and throat for a second, then you kind of
got it.
You feel it tickle basically like the back of your throat kind of.
But don't like suck in too hard that it would like hurt, like,
try to be mild, because just like cough.
You'll probably cough.
It's actually
you're for
good
sure
if you
gonna cough,
cough.
For sure.
I forget that you will for sure
for
cough.
Sure
Got
it.
It takes a minute to know how much to do.
That's funny, I've never thought about how you inhale, but I guess it is, it's like a like, take a deep breath, I guess, while you're doing
it's it's not a swallow, but it's, like, a similar, like, a second...
Yeah, it's, like, goes halfway down.
A second motion that you do after, because, like, the breathing is the circular, you know, thinking about it, but you definitely have to do, like, I don't know.
Just
a second
pause.
Thing.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah, because I know whenever I smoke cigars, like, I'm not good at not inhaling them.
I know.
Right. You're not supposed to.
You know, all the time that I smoke cigars.
I do like a cigar.
I'm just constantly.
Oh my God. Well, I just, when my brother and sister and I were in Rome together, we had this place that like overlooked the Colosseum, and we just bought a bunch of Cuban cigars, and every night we would just sit on our balcony just pounding wine and drinking cigars. Jesus Christ. I think that's what started my love of cigars. As you do.
But yeah, you got this. People are nice about it. Go ask them. Yeah. They'll be cool.
But yeah, I think the things to remember, 5 milligrams for the edibles, wait, don't worry if it doesn't work at first.
How much should you smoke at once?
I mean, I would do one hit and then wait and see how you feel.
Okay. Yeah, if it's your first time, I go small.
Like anything, go little by little.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, maybe do it with someone else, but I also really enjoy smoking weed by myself.
But I do think for a beginner, I would prefer having a friend there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah. Or your boyfriend can be there. He just can't smoke himself.
Maybe just, let someone know that that's what you're doing. Like an emergency contact. just in case.
But it can be really nice, like, put on your snuggly pajamas and, like, music that you like and just, like, smoke a little bit by yourself. It is, like, very relaxing, and it makes music sound really good. And
Get some of your favorite shit to eat. Mm-hmm. You know.
There you go.
That's real good.
Shit. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, and just don't, I mean, also don't get, I mean, I wouldn't get paranoid, like, don't worry if people think you're high. I feel like when I was younger, I was always, like, really paranoid that everyone knew I was high. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I would just hang out in the first time, not, like,
don't try to do anything. Yeah. Don't do it in a public place.
But it is fun to go to, like, 7-Eleven and be like, what? on like another planet. Yeah. It's a good time.
Yeah.
You got this.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck.
Sounds great.
Julia, thanks for doing the show.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Tell
this was so much fun.
Where they can find your podcast and everything.
Yes, I am. You can follow me personally at Julia Loken on all of the platforms. You can listen to my astrology podcast called What's Your Sign. We are on everywhere that podcasts are found. You can follow us on Instagram at What's Your Sign Podcast. It's the same on Twitter, but it's spelled weird. But I'm sure if you just search it, you'll have no trouble finding it.
We have that.
Yeah, yeah, where it's like you had to put a weird underscore and spell it, whatever. But yeah, just search What's Your Sign if you're into that. And that's it.
Yeah, and look for the episode we're doing coming out soon. Mm-hmm. And subscribe to our Patreon, Lady to Lady. Well, patreon.com/ladytolady.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fucking do it.
For our secret sesh, which we're going to record right now.
Uh-huh. We love you. Bye.
Bye. We love you. Can't get enough of us? Subscribe to our Patreon for exclusive bonus content, access to our first 100 episodes, and more. Go to patreon.com/ladytolady now to sign up. As little as a dollar a month keeps a roof over the glam cave and keeps you laughing, even when your coworkers stare. That's patreon.com/ladytolady.
And don't forget to follow us on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at Lady to Lady Comedy. Join our Facebook group, Lady to Lady Podcasts, to chat with other fans about episodes or even post your own lady problems. Check out our website, ladytoladycomedy.com, for show notes, videos, and merch.
And duh, follow our individual accounts, Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker, for jokes and info and where you can see us perform live. And if you want to send us snacks, stickers, or a lock of your own hair, I don't know, whatever, our P.O. Box is 412-794 Los Angeles, California, 90041. And please, leave us a review on iTunes, but only if you like us.
We love you.
We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.